types of kisses, right? So there's like milk chocolate, there's hot chocolate, there's cookies and cream, there's hazelnut, there's special dark, there's mint truffle, there's cherry flavored, there's even one that's called a hug kissy, kisses. Gosh, golly, pray for me, y'all. All right. So then there's even a caramel one. There's an almond one. I handed out kisses to everyone this morning. So if you have an allergy, there's an almond one in there. So beware of that one. So if you bite into it, and you're like, ah, okay. So just give that one to your other person there anyway. So anyway. Just as there are different types of Hershey's chocolate kisses, there are different types of kisses that are in God's Word. And there's different kisses that we have even, right? So there's a type of kiss that you give your mother, right? There's a type of kiss that you give your brother or your sister, a kind of kiss that you would give to your wife or husband. And if you're with your husband or wife this morning, go ahead and kiss one another. It's all right. JR said it's okay. It's all right. Go ahead and give each other a kiss. It's like there's no cam or anything like that saying the kiss cam. You know, we're not going to do that to you. All right. Okay. So, all right. So a kiss is an expression of love and affection. That's what it is. Although in today's pop culture, they've kind of tainted what a kiss is. In some cases, they've even made a kiss look kind of ugly. They've strayed from what a kiss is supposed to be like. So I thought this morning, this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day first, all right? Let's get things in perspective, all right? The Lord's Day. But on Valentine's, that we would look at the kisses in the Bible, and what can we learn from this study about these Bible kisses? I think as we look at some of the examples, we'll find some truths and some principles that are worth keeping. So, Father in heaven, before we really start diving into your word, I just pray that what is shared this morning will bring a smile to your face. And how our brother said earlier, you are the author of love. And you sent your son for us, and that your son died on the cross for us. He laid down his life for us. That's how much he loved us. And so this morning, Father, I again anoint what is going to be shared this morning, and hold my tongue where it needs to be held. In your name I pray. Amen. So the first kiss that I want to look at this morning is the figurative kiss of God's attributes. We go to Psalms 85:10, and it reads, steadfast love and faithfulness meet righteousness and peace. Kiss each other. So consider if you will how difficult it is to get mercy and truth together. Truth is an absolute holiness and with error or hypocrisy, but mercy is overlooking an error and hypocrisy. The same can be said for righteousness and peace. A sinful man finds righteousness frustrating. They don't get it. It frustrates them. Yet he cannot have true peace without it. You can't have peace without him. Our verse says that these seemingly opposite have met together, and they have kissed each other. And so does that happen? Well, it only happens through Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. It is found in John 1:17, where it says, "For the laws given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So yeah, that law, and so for so long people were about the law. What does the law say? But they didn't know what the grace part of it, the law, was until Jesus Christ came along. Christ joined God's holy righteousness and his overwhelming love. And how can God be both righteous and merciful at the same time? Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. Okay. Just check in. Both sides of God's attributes were brought in harmony through the salvation of Christ brought through the cross. Okay, so secondly, the second kiss we're going to look at is the faithful kiss of salvation. We look at Luke 7:37 through 38, and there it says, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that she was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair and her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment." Simon the Pharisee was upset. I don't want to confuse you with Simon the Pharisee, because there are so many Simons in the New Testament, right? How many Simons would you say off the top of your head are in the New Testament? Just shout it out if you think you're close. I'll let you know. Seven, that's close. All right. Okay, anyone else? One more guess. All right, we have one number too high, one number too low. All right, so there are nine different Simons that are found in the New Testament. We have Simon Peter, the disciple, Simon the Zealot, Simon, one of Jesus' four brothers, and he had two sisters, at least two. Text doesn't give their name, but it says sisters, so we know that it's more than one. So Simon Iscariot, the father of Judas Iscariot, Simon the Tanner, Simon the Sorcerer, Simon the Leper, and Simon of Cyrene. Which Simon was that? What did he do? Anybody know? I'll help you out. He's the one that carried the cross, all right? The guard said, "Hey, come here, you, pick up the cross." All right, so that's that Simon. Anyway, now you have a little less on Simons, all right? So Jesus used this opportunity to teach Simon about forgiveness. Remember, this woman was a sinful woman. She was a harlot. When we receive God's salvation through the Son, there's a difference that's made in our hearts. And that difference, we're just when we accept Jesus, having a relationship with him, just asking him to forgive us of all of our wrongdoing and accept us the way we are, all jacked up, tainted, whatever adjective you want to use there. He accepts us. And how can you not forgive someone, want to show your expression for someone who's did that for you? When you read that text, it says that she took that alabaster jar, she broke it, right? She broke that jar. So she didn't just unscrew it and say, "Okay, I'm just going to use a little bit," right? She just broke the whole thing, and so now she like gave it all. She's just saying, "Here, accept this fragrant offering. Accept this as a kiss. I think that those of us who have, that are adults, parents, that have kids, and those kids that are growing up, you know, it comes, a lot of kids, once they get in their teenage years, right, and you, like, you try to hug them, like, it happens, you know. And it's okay if it happens at home, but don't even try it out of doors, right? Like, at school, like, have a good day! And like, yeah, peace, I'm out. You know, Mom, just go. I hope that we don't ever, in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual maturity, that we don't ever feel like we're too grown to ever give kisses to our Heavenly Father. Those expressions of saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Let me just, I just want to express my love to my Father in a kiss. And what does that look like? It may be something as simple as giving somebody a ride to church. It may be as simple as, you know, you're at the cash register and somebody's short a couple coins. Hey, let me just get that for you. I'm doing this, because I'm trying to be a nice person. But it's the love of God that's in me allows me to do that for you. And he said, when we do that, our Heavenly Father, like, that's my kid. Don't we do that as parents when our kids do something good? I mean, real good. Because your kids are always good, right? But when they do something out of the ordinary good, you're like, that's my kid. We looking at the next kiss, we have the family kiss of a brother, and that's found in Romans 16:16 and other places in God's word. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. All right. So this is found several places in the New Testament. And Paul, he admonishes the believer to greet one another with a kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right. There's a difference. All right. A holy kiss. It's the equivalent of maybe a good handshake or a hug. But what is behind this exhortation that of Paul to kiss one another? It was a sign of affection to one another, a brother and sisterly love type of affection. And there's a number of times in Scripture that we are commanded to love one another. This holy kiss was inspired as a result of God-inspired love. God-inspired love. I've been in a company where I've received such a kiss, a holy kiss, from another gentleman. He just said, J.R. And this man was a man, in the beginning, in his first walk, I gave him a hug. He was new, and I'm like, I just want you to feel the love of Christ, the brotherly love that I have for you. And at first, I hugged him, and he kind of like, okay. And then he's like, okay. I didn't let him go. I wanted him to know that I loved him. And after that, I couldn't come through the doors without him like, and then one time, one Saturday morning at a Promise Keepers men's breakfast, he just came up to him and gave me a hug. And then he kissed me on my cheek. And he says, God's word says I'm supposed to greet you with a holy kiss. I'm like, yeah. I know that social norms would say, no, no kissing. Social norms are even saying, no hugging. But I would hope and pray that these social norms would not ever keep us from loving each other in the way that our Heavenly Father orchestrated it to be. And for each of us to show one another that brotherly and sisterly love. Let me move on. Let's look at this other kiss, the farewell kiss. Acts 20, 36 through 38 says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was such weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. The Christians in Ephesus, these Christians in Ephesus obviously love Paul. They love Paul like nobody's business. They just, when Paul was around, they're like, Paul. And because of the word, not just because of Paul, but, you know, he has a story himself from where he was to where he is now. And his ministry, and how he loved on one another, and how he encouraged one another. And at this moment, Paul is saying goodbye to them, and he's telling them goodbye for the last time. And I can't help but think that Paul already knew what was waiting ahead for him in Rome. And he was saying, this is my last time, y'all. This is the last time I'll have with you. And in this context, everybody's coming around Paul like, we love you, Paul. We're going to miss you, Paul. And they were kissing him. They fell and they were kissing him on his neck. They were kissing him and saying, we're going to miss you. You've been a brother like no other. Sometimes we have to say goodbye, it kind of hurts, right? Or we're sorrowful, like most of us, some of us here, on one end or the other. Your child says, okay, you know, they're headed off to college for the first time. You know, they're leaving the nest. You're like, in front of them, you're saying, whoa, and they laugh, they're like, whoo-hoo, all right. But then a couple days sets in, you're like, oh, man, I miss them. It'll happen. But you miss them. And sometimes, you know, when they're going away, maybe they're going off to serve our country, to protect and to defend our country. And they're going to a foreign land. I know what it's like to be on the other end, but now I know what it's like to be on the other side where I sent my grandson and I said, see you later. And it's kind of different. And you give them a kiss and you hope that, trust and pray that you'll be able to see him again so that there'll be another kiss, another embrace. And sometimes it happens when our kids or somebody goes off into ministry. They go away and you're going to miss them. It's a farewell. God's calling them to another land. Sometimes it's a pastor who's being called away to minister somewhere else. And there is sorrow. Sometimes there's even sorrow in that hospital room for that individual lying there. And you're saying goodbye to them for the last time. And you give them that farewell kiss. Let's move on to another kind of kiss. There's this foolish kiss of idolatry. In Hosea 13:2, it reads, "And now they sin more and more and make for themselves metal images, idols skillfully made of their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of them, those who offer human sacrifices kiss calves." In Hosea's time, the people had become very consumed with idols. Those graven images that are spoken of, some of them were even like wearing these idols around their necks. Even in their town, there was idols, and when you went by the idol, you were supposed to kiss the idol. And I know that, I just can't help but think that most of us today would say, that's foolishness. And that's what Hosea is saying. Why are you kissing these medallions? Why are you kissing these idols? Why are you kissing these statues, right? That's ridiculous. Kissing these things brings you nothing. And I think those of us sitting here, those listening would say, idol? I'm not an idol worshiper. Not me. That's crazy. Oh, but hang on. Maybe our idols don't come in a form of a statue or a graven image, right? Maybe they come in the form of the god of sports. Oh. Maybe they come in the god of money. Oh. God of money. Love the Benjamins. Maybe it comes in the God of entertainment. Oh, I love entertainment. I gotta have it. That's my God. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Our love and our devotion should be for him and him alone. Okay, and so I'm not trying to beat anybody up, all right? Okay. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But when you pit those things before him, then you're wrong. If you spend more time in those things than in this, let's look at another kiss. There's this, the friendly kiss of hypocrisy. Luke 22:47 reads, While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas Iscariot. What's Judas's father's name? Somebody's listening. All right. Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Judas kissed Jesus that night there in the garden, he was not only identifying to the soldiers at hand who they were to arrest, but he was also acting as though he had affection for Jesus by doing so. His kiss wasn't sincere. He was faking the funk. His kiss wasn't real. I'm telling you, folks, your kisses need to be for real. Don't fake them. But in this case, there was nothing real about this kiss, about Judas when he kissed Jesus there. So much so that Jesus said to him, "You would kiss the Son of Man with a kiss? You would betray him like that?" In the sports world, they'd be like, "Come on, man." How that must have hurt to be betrayed like that. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faith are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Satan will use every trick that he can to deceive us, even false love of an enemy. Beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing." So when you hear wolves in sheep's clothing, they're disguising themselves, right? They're saying that they're children of God, but they're disguising themselves. It's not the evil ones. They don't have to disguise themselves. They're not trying to hide themselves. It's those who say they are and aren't. And they don't have the best intentions. There's an old song to me. It's back in the early 70s. This song, it's not a song you're going to find in your hymn, but it's by the OJs. And the name of the song is called "Backstabbers." They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place, the backstabbers. There's this other kiss, this kiss, the forgiving kiss of compassion. It's found in Luke 15:20. And it says, "And he rose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him with a kiss." So this is our final example of kisses in the Bible this morning. And so this story, maybe you're familiar with it, and it's the story of the prodigal son, right? And this young lad, he says, "Hey, Dad, give me all of what's owed me, all right? My inheritance, give me my inheritance. I want it now." And in that day and time, that was unheard of. I mean, just think of it now. I mean, just running up to, you know that you're going to get something from your pops, right? And you're a teenager, you're like, "Hey, Dad, I don't want to wait till you die. Give me my inheritance right now." How bold, right? That's ridiculous. And so the father said, "Okay, son." And he gave him his inheritance, and his son went and squandered it, right? Bought 65-inch flat-screen TVs, it'd be the equivalent, though. But, I mean, he squandered it. He went and spent the money foolishly, partying every night. And it came to the point where he didn't have a coin in his pocket, and he found himself eating food out of a trough, eating next to the pigs. And he's like, "Man, even my dad's servants get treated better than this." And he goes home, and
He's like, okay, I'm just going to apologize, Dad. I messed up. And there his dad was. His dad saw his son from a distance, and he's saying, son,
oh, man, my boy. My boy, my son. And everything that boy deserved, that son deserved, I mean, at a minimum, his dad could have said, I told you so. I told you so. I knew you're going to make a mess of this. I knew you're going to squander it. Now what do you have? You have nothing. But that's not the way his father received him. He said, come here. Let me love on you. Let me kiss you. God stands ready to accept our repentance and faith right now. I don't know where you are at. I don't know where anybody who's listening. I don't know where you're at, your relationship with Jesus Christ. But this morning, I'm telling you that he's saying, come here. Let me hug on you. Let me give you a kiss, one that will be remembered for the rest of your life. Kisses can mean a lot of different things. We see that this morning in our text. And as we look at these examples of Bible kisses, we see that they can be affectionate signs of love, or they can be hypocritical, or a sign of betrayal. But an honorable kiss to God can mean many blessings and many benefits. This day, it's Valentine's Day, I get that, but every day, God is asking me to show his love to those who don't know about his love. He's asking you to hug on them. He's asking you to give them a kiss, his kiss. And why does he give us that kiss? Why does he give us that love? Because he first loved me. Amen. Father in heaven, as we come to a close this morning, I want us to be able to express your love, your fatherly love, your unattainable love, it seems like, but you're right there. You give that to us. That our expressions of love would be about you. Thank you, Father. That our love would be about you. And for no other reason, that our expressions of love would be nothing but that. And that our culture would not dumb us down. That our culture would not shackle us. That the church that of Ephesus that showed that example, that church would be alive today, and that we'd look at that church as an example for us to love our brothers and sisters.
and to encourage them. Encourage them in a way that you would say, those are my kids. In your name I pray. Amen.